Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. This being one of those Sundays when we do adult Sunday school inside the service, let us work through this text from Matthew, and I will go with it verse by verse and line by line, and let us gather a message as we go along, starting from verse 21. In the old days when the preachers did this, what they advised that you would put your finger on the text and then you would follow it. Now, as you go through it, and we will go through it line by line. Verses 21 to 20. And starting now from verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the legal experts, and that he had to be killed and raised on the third day. So that verse describes for us the story of Jesus' life and opens us to the season of Lent, which begins on Wednesday. This week is Ash Wednesday. At this time, the church puts before us the theme of suffering and hope, and we are asked to reflect on the ministry, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. The text says, from that time on, Jesus began. That is how our reading begins. These are the same words that Matthew used when Jesus just came out of the wilderness after being tempted by the devil. And Jesus begins to proclaim the message that he will keep repeating over and over again. Repent. Which, as you know, means, does not mean feel sorry. What it means is change your mind. Change the direction of your thinking. The kingdom of heaven is now here. And now he begins to show and explain why is it that he needs to suffer many things. The next few words says, Jesus began to show. Other translations say, Jesus began to explain. He will show and he will tell the disciples over and over again. And they will be unable to grasp or hear what he is really saying. Not until they see the risen Christ. And then the truth begins to break through. He must go to Jerusalem, says the next words. If you're following it with your finger, he must go. He has to go to Jerusalem. Another translation says, it is necessary that he goes to Jerusalem to complete the call that is given to him by God. His purpose and his destiny lies in Jerusalem. That is where his life is going to end. He doesn't live there, as you know. Jesus is from Nazareth. His ministry is in Galilee. But it all ends in Jerusalem. And suffer many things. The idea of a suffering servant has been found in Isaiah. In the Old Testament, the people of God, Jesus included as a good Jew, knew about the scripture that describes the Messiah as one who would suffer. So you would think that everybody agrees with that. They do not. The apostles themselves believed that the Messiah should be a warrior king that will deliver themselves from the power of the Romans, not somebody who is bound to suffer. From the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and he will be killed. The three groups that are mentioned, elders, priests, scribes, are the officials of the temple. They are the clergy of Jesus' day. A commentator notes, it seems like it is not the worst of men who will kill Jesus, it is actually the best of them, the ones who lead the church, the temple, that will kill the Messiah and raise on the third day. So here Jesus talks about his death. He is saying to his inner circle that is not going to be the end of the story, that it seems unlikely that the disciples were still listening to what followed. All that they were hearing or ringing in their ears was, he's going to die. But that is not where it ends. Jesus himself said, he will be raised on the third day. Note, he will be raised. It's in the passive voice. He does not raise himself. He will be killed. He does not kill himself. All of these things happen to him as he places his entire life in God's hands. He will, as one of the songs that we will sing at the end of the service, he will surrender all. Surrender is required of anyone who seeks to follow and who wants to be raised the same way that Jesus was. Verse 22, and then Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him, God forbid, Lord, this won't happen to you. Peter took him aside, rebukes him privately. His rebuke is friendly, but he treats Jesus like Jesus was some kind of a fallen leader who has lost his way. Far be it from you, Lord, or God forbid, as our translation says. Literally, it actually means, may God be gracious to you, and may this thing that you're telling us about, may it not happen to you. May God prevent this from happening. And Peter, like the rest of Jesus' friends, failed to see through his mind why suffering is necessary at all, and why death is even part of this picture. Verse 23, get behind me, Satan. He turns to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, you are a stone that will make me stumble. You're not thinking God's thoughts, you're thinking human thoughts. So he turns and said to Peter, get behind me. Satan, in the original language, means anything that stands in the way of God's will. It's referred to as the Satan. So, get behind me also means, Peter, you are my follower. I am here in front. You go behind. That is the place of the one who follows. Get behind me, Satan. Feeling that Peter himself is acting like Satan in this particular time. Because rather than encouraging Jesus to follow the narrow, rough road that will lead to the cross, Peter is saying, on behalf of all of your friends, on behalf of our team that have been together for 3 years, I ask you, don't go with it. Stop it. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Peter understands that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is Son of God and the one that God sends. What he cannot get, cannot wrap his head around, is why he needs to suffer. Peter wants him to succeed, to become king. And the way to see, according to Jesus, it's almost like Peter and to all of us, if you really want to see this clearly, you need to think the way God thinks. Because there's no way that you will see it if you continue thinking like human beings, thinking from the human mind. You got to see reality the way God sees it. Think God's thoughts and not human thoughts. Verse 24 to 26. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Jesus talks to the disciples. Verse 24. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus addresses these words to the crowd. But in this particular reading in Matthew, it says he addresses the disciples, not anyone else, but the ones who are closest to him. And he's saying something like what we would say today, listen up. This is what it means to be followers. If anyone desires to come after me, and we know that these disciples do desire to follow Jesus. In another text it said they left everything. They left their wives, their family, their possessions, their jobs to follow the Christ. Now Jesus invites them to revisit that decision and invites them to re-examine if the desire to follow the Christ, if that's still there, now that you know that the one that you follow is about to die. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So first, Jesus mentions denying the self. And then Jesus expects everybody to bear a cross. Now we need to understand that the cross in Roman times was an instrument of torture. It was designed to those who challenged the kingdom or the empire of Rome. People died on the cross. That is what it was there for. So in some way, I think what is being told us is that this practice, which Matthew says is also a daily practice, is a practice in how to die. That is what bearing up your cross means. Whoever desires to save his life, or his soul, his essence, will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. That's a bit difficult to understand. What is he talking about? Commentator said he was not talking about biological life, the life that ends when the breath ends. I don't think Jesus was saying that. Jesus is talking about this life that we're talking about of following me. If you really, really want to follow it, then you have to give up certain things. And that soul life is found only for those who are prepared to lose other things. Another way of saying that, if we really want to enjoy this life with God, then we need to give ourselves over completely to God. Which again talks about surrender, trusting. So the meaning of discipleship, which we're also talking about today, this is slowly unfolding, I hope by this time, to us as well. To begin to understand that when we say we want to be Christ followers, this is what we're signing up for. This is what it's about. And this journey will not take one Sunday or two Sundays. It will take an entire life. It will take a whole lifetime. So life in the Spirit has its cost and its reward. It requires bearing the cross. But at the end, let us not forget, comes a blessing and a promise. And that promise is resurrection. New life. This life may pass. Another one is coming. And Jesus asks, what will you give in exchange for that? I guess the answer to that is some people will say, I am willing to give everything. If that is what is your being offered, then all of me is ready for that. Unless you're like this man in the alley who was held up, and the one who was about to rob him said, your money or your life? And the guy said, take my life. I am saving my money for my old age. The life that Jesus offered, my dear friends, sisters and brothers, is worth it. And if it wasn't, then a whole history of Christians made a mistake. Because many Christians in the centuries offered themselves to torture and persecution and death because they believed in that promise. Verse 27 to 28, the Son of Man will come with the majesty of the Father and his angels, and he will repay each one for what the person has done. And I assure you that some who are standing here will not die before they see the human one of the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The people in Jesus' time, since this was written after the resurrection, believed that Jesus would come back soon. That was a mistake, because he wasn't coming back soon. But the text says that there will be people who will not die before they see him. Unfortunately, God's time is not against human time. Jesus promised to return, but also said that no one knows the time nor the hour in which that is going to happen. But the promise, as we just sang, the blessed assurance, never goes away. It is always there. It is saying, I will be with you all the days of your life, till the very end of time. There is a belief that the people will not face death. The reality is, some died before seeing Jesus again. As we enter the season of Lent, as I said, which begins on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, let this text just simmer in our hearts and open us to this journey of the next 40 days of Lent. Because that's what, in certain translations, Lent, for instance, in the Spanish, is Cuaresma. Lent means 40 days, literally, 40 days. So we enter that way, that path. In these days, what are we expected to do? To let go of the self in order that God can use it for God's purposes. An invitation to a life that is no longer just about us, but a one that is raised up. What God's Spirit is telling us today, what we should be hearing from reading this text, is yes, there is suffering, no doubt, but also, yes, there is blessing. And the only way to gain life, to give it up in surrender, and then the blessing comes as one turns one's life around, as one repents, as the scripture says. How will we do that? That is the journey that opens us beginning Wednesday, together as we travel the next 40 days. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh, Holy God, thank you for putting us on this road. Admittedly, it is a difficult road, oh God. It becomes even more difficult when we cannot see what is ahead. We are not sure of tomorrow. We can only trust. Now, whatever happens on this road, oh God, you put it there for us to learn, to understand, and to gain life, the life that you offer. And so we ask you during these moments, in these moments of silence, give us courage, give us understanding, give us that wisdom in which we can see from day to day that you have not stopped speaking, that you continue to talk to us, you continue to communicate with us. As we pray, O God, let us hear your words. Let us see your face. We do not have anyone else, O God, in this journey except you. We rely on you. And so we ask you, please do not abandon us. Do not leave us by ourselves to figure these things out. Send your Holy Spirit to be our counsel. Send your Holy Spirit to be our friend and companion on this journey. Together, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
called the hymn of dedication, and we use it for the first time today. The song that you know, the hymn, is "Be Thou My Vision," is the tune. Imagine that you are singing, "Be Thou My Vision," but these are the words are different.
Can that be clear?
Okay, so everybody, you can just join me as we practice this. And then we have the offering, and as the offering comes up, instead of praise God for whom all blessings flow, we will sing the hymn of dedication. Remember, the tune is "Be Thou My Vision."
So here it goes. Everybody. Lord of all being, I give you my all. Here I desire.